Welcome to the Father State. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support the Father State now by joining, becoming a member of the program on YouTube or by going to locals.com. And I do appreciate it. Thanks for the membership. It's amazing. Also, check out my coffee. I got my own coffee. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. And every dime of the coffee goes back to my nonprofit, Barn, Rebuilding the Family by Rebuilding the Man. So thank you all in advance. I have with me Joe Stout. He is an entrepreneur, educator, homeschool advocate, and a father of 10. 10 white babies. Lord, no, we need them. Joe, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. And all those white babies of mine are excited that you're excited for them.
Joe, if ever we needed more white babies, we need it now. Because from what I hear, that in 20-something, 20, 30-something, white people are going to become the minority in America. And that's the last thing we need to happen. It's over for America if that should happen. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, America certainly can't continue as America unless you have your founding stock that stays here. And so because we were established as a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant country, if the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants go away, then what you had to begin with fundamentally disappears.
Absolutely, man. Why are white people afraid to say that out loud?
Well, a lot of it has to do with programming. We've been programmed by the government schools from the earliest stage possible to see ourselves as the problem. There's also, I think, something called altruistic, or it's called pathological altruism. And it's something I think that affects white people in particular, where we want to be altruistic. It's kind of in our nature, and yet we'll do so at the expense of ourselves. And so it's a dangerous place to be. But I think that's why a lot of white people are so uncomfortable with that as a concept, even.
That's amazing. So what's that word again?
Oh, it's I certainly didn't coin it, but pathological altruism. So pathological, of course, is it's kind of like a disease state, and then altruism is just the idea of, you know, fathers are altruistic to their children. It's a good thing to be altruistic, but there is a sense in which if your altruism is leading to the destruction of your family, that's a pathological altruism.
Oh, is that the same as fear?
I suppose it could be. I suppose there could be similarities for sure.
I mentioned on my radio show today that I don't understand why white people in their own country will support other people who come here from foreign countries. For example, right now, the college campuses around the country, you have the Allahu Akbar people protesting, and they see America as the big Satan, and they see Israel as the little Satan, and they say that Christians and Jews are worthy of infidels and worthy of death, right? But yet, they are on our land, calling us this, protesting in our country, and there are white people who are joining with them. I don't understand that. It must be the Adoristan thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it is. It's one of the most bizarre things in the world.
Yeah.
To have a country that everybody wants to illegally enter, and then once they get here, they all kind of basically get in line for the free handouts, and you know, the founding stock of the country seem to take it on the chin, and then just join them in complaining about themselves. if that's not pathological, I don't know what is.
It is the same, man. Joe, what's important to you?
You know, the things that are important to me, Jesse, are first and foremost God. I was given the immense privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Both my parents love the Lord. Their parents on both sides love the Lord, and so they instilled in me a desire to love Christ and see Him honored in all things. So that is hands down the most important thing. Because of that, the most important thing that I can do with that is to worship that God. So He is God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the most important thing in the world to me. Number two would be my family. I've got a wonderful wife. Her name is Elizabeth. And like you started off the show, I've got 10 white babies. My oldest is 10 of them. My oldest is 16, and my youngest is actually just one. And those are incredibly important to me as well. So God and family. And then third on the list would be this country. I love this country that I'm a part of. I don't want to live anywhere else. I don't have another place I want to go. And you know, one of the things that's important to me is to stop the Republican tendency to always want to retreat and to leave and to try to start something new. I don't want to do that. I live in the county in which I was born, and I want to die here, and I want my children to put down their roots here. And I might not be able to fix national problems, but I'd like to see my own home, my own local community grow stronger, loving the things that God loves. So those are some of the things that are important to me.
And how did you find a woman who was willing to have 10 children? Because normally white women, if they have a baby, period, now they only want one, no more than two. How did you meet a woman that was willing to first, let me ask, are you going to make some more babies?
Well, you know, nothing has been ended to prevent that in the future. So who knows? Maybe more will come.
Right on. And so how did you find a woman who was willing to do what women normally would do in the good old days, when boys were boys and men were men? How did you meet a woman that's willing to have 10 children?
Well, I will say that if you're looking to get married, and you should, you know, maybe don't start with 10 children as the opening sales pitch. Both my wife and I, though, did want lots of children. Neither of us set out with the 10 number in our minds, that's for sure. But we definitely are big believers in not wanting to cut off the blessings of the Lord. Children are a blessing of the Lord. It says in Psalm 127, they are a heritage. The fruit of the womb is God's reward to His people. So we don't want to cut ourselves off from that. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they'll go through life and they'll actually intentionally cut themselves off from the blessings of God. And we didn't want to do that.
That's amazing. Does she obey you?
My wife is an amazing Proverbs 31 woman. I can truly say with Proverbs 31, with the man in Proverbs 31, that she has done me good and not evil all of her days, and that would include submitting joyfully in all things. So yes, she does.
That's amazing. And so, did you find her like in the country or somewhere? Where did you find her?
This is one of the amazing providences of God, Jesse, is we both grew up in the same small town, but we never knew each other until we met each other at Campus Crusade for Christ on the other side of the state. And we struck up a relationship and got married in 2007 and have been just loving life ever since.
That's amazing. And so when the hell, you know how sometimes when the hell comes out of her, how do you deal with it?
Did you say when the hell comes out of her?
Yes.
I mean, some storms are meant to endure. Yeah. And that part of being a man is being able to endure storms without completely caving and falling over. I like to use the metaphor of the man's role is to be the oak tree in the storm in which the wife can come and take refuge. So when the hell comes out, or when there are troubled times, I try to be a shelter for her in that time.
Right on. And so there are men who want to get married, a lot of men, but it's difficult for them today, especially in today's America. What would you recommend for those men who want to be married, have children, make children?
Yeah, if you aren't a part of a church, you need to find a church that doesn't guarantee that you won't have problems, or that you won't find a woman who will do you evil. But it's a wonderful place to start. One of the most important things that men need to remember is that you must look beyond just simply the exterior, because a woman could have a lot of physical beauty, physical charm, but that can be deceitful. And you want a woman who you can trust with not only your life, but the life of your children.
Absolutely.
And we live in a world where over 70% of divorces are instigated by women, by wives. And you do not want to go through the meat grinder that is the family courts without, you don't want to have to go through that. And the only way to avoid that, or at least to increase your chances of avoiding that, is by finding a woman who fears the Lord. And so if you recognize early on that there are topics that you can't talk about with your wife that are in what would be considered the traditional male space, things like submission, then you probably should do yourself a favor and not get married at all, rather than get married to the wrong woman.
Good point, man. I tell the guys, when you meet a woman and you go out to dinner, and you sit there at the table, you order the dinner, and your first question should be, not that you're thinking about marriage at that point, but your first question should be, if we should get married, will you obey me? And if she says no, or him hard about it, get up and leave the table. Just walk away and leave her there, let her take an Uber home, and you leave her, because that's not the woman you want to marry. Am I wrong?
I would agree. Maybe the tactics would be different for me. However, you are right in that you want to run for the hills from a woman who who would be okay with a man who simply wants an egalitarian 50-50% of information in the marriage. If you have an egalitarian woman, you do not want to make a wife out of that. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Amazing. What, how long should they date before they get married?
You shouldn't date at all unless you are considering marriage. So I'm not a believer at all in just dating for the fun of it. Although I think dating can be lots of fun. You should be I completely agree with you, from the first date, you should be evaluating, even before you have the first date, you should be evaluating whether or not this is a godly woman or not, someone who you can trust your life and the life of your children with. And if that's not the case, then you shouldn't even have a first date. However, if you found that nice filly and you think this might be the one, well, then I would look to put a ring on her as soon as possible and get married within 6 months.
Nice. But it's hard for men, especially with the Christian women nowadays. They go to church, they quote the Bible, they praise the Lord, they say all the right things, and they say they're Christian, but once the guys marry them, they end up finding out they married a daughter of Satan. How can you avoid that?
Yeah, a lot of that's going to come down to what kind of church are you going to? And unfortunately, we don't have the Protestant world. I'm a Protestant, so I'll speak to Protestants, not letting anybody else off the hook in the Catholic world. But as a Protestant, I can say that a lot of Protestant churches out there, unfortunately, do not do the men of their congregation any favors whatsoever. Yeah. A lot of them are very beta male. They're run by very beta men.
Yes.
Who oftentimes are deluded with the thinking that somehow women can't sin. Men can sin, women can sin. Yeah. And if you are a part of a church where the pastor and the elders are willing to hold the congregation accountable, including your wife or your potential wife, then that can help prevent a situation where the woman is essentially just given everything in the event of her deciding that she wants to eat, pray, love, and she's dissatisfied with her life now, and so she's going to divorce and take the kids and take the house and do all of that. So if you can find a church that does not pander to women, then you are well on your way to having the safety of potentially finding a wife that is going to love and submit to you and enjoy.
That's amazing, man. I do a lot of counseling with men and women around the world. And I found out, and I counsel with men who say that they stay home and they're their home dad or their home mom, whatever they call themselves. But then lately I've been counseling with, and add on to that, men who have stayed home for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and they raised the children, they were the mother. And then the woman, along the way, she bought a house, they live in this home. Nothing is put in the man's name. It's in her mother's name and all that. And then all of a sudden, the woman wants a divorce, and the man end up with nothing. Nothing. And so what I have suggested to them is, okay, you played the woman's role. There are laws that says that when you divorce, the woman gets everything, right? So go to court and tell the court you've been the wife at home. You did everything. And you should ask for spousal support, child support. You want half of the house. You want everything that the women get. To use the court in the same way the women use the court against them. What do you say to that? Oh, what do you say about men who are willing to even stay home and pretend to be the wife? And if they should divorce, should they use the court in that way, in the way women does?
Yeah, well, to your first point in terms of the switching of the very God-given roles of man being the provider and the woman being the nurturer at home.
Right.
You can't fight against nature. This is instituted by God, but it's built into our nature as well. And so when you see men who basically play mom at home and the wife is the high-powered attorney or whatever, off bringing home the bacon, generally what you don't see in that is happy people. You don't see fulfilled men and fulfilled women. What you see is I've often told my kids I would make a bad mother because I was not created to be a mother.
That's
I was
right, man.
So any young man who is considering the egalitarian message of, well, my wife could make, I mean, and Jesse, we got to realize here, it's approaching like 60% of college graduates are now women. And I think it's less than 40% of people graduating from college are men. And so the earning power of women is going to be higher for women than for men for probably the foreseeable future. And so you're going to have a lot of couples who see those dollar signs because mom can bring home more bacon than dad can. But there is what I would tell people is that there are more important things in your life than money.
Yes.
One of them is dignity. And there is the dignity that comes from a husband providing for his family. And you can provide fatherhood to your family. You can provide your presence there, but you don't want to take over the role. You don't want to abdicate your own role, but you also don't want to usurp your wife's role. That's her. That's the way she honors God. That's the way she brings glory to the kingdom. And if you are trying to do that because she can make more money, then you have missed the point entirely. There is no paycheck high enough to make me even consider that even temporarily. So I would say absolutely not. Don't do that ever. But if you find yourself in that situation and your wife's going to go through with a divorce and you're going to lose everything, I would not think it's wrong for you to try to utilize the courts to the best of your advantage, since you have essentially devoted your life to being a sperm donor and babysitter. That's, I mean, I would not think it's wrong for you to try to use the courts to the best of your abilities.
Right on. Amazing. Should a man marry an educated woman? I noticed that educated women do not make for good wives and mothers. Because of their ego, they think they're the same as a man and they want to do all that. Should a man marry an educated woman?
Yeah, it really depends on what kind of woman you're talking about. A lot of women, I think, have bought into the college career idea, and they've bought into that idea not necessarily wholeheartedly themselves. There's something out there called girl math, and girl math is where you spend 10 years becoming a doctor, and then when you're at the pediatrician's office all day, you just fantasize about being home and being a mom. Like, a lot of women, I believe, are in that world. And so if the wife that you are considering is educated, for example, my wife has a nursing degree. I met her at college when she was going to become a nurse. She became a nurse 2 weeks before, or 2 weeks after our daughter, our first daughter was born. She graduated, she got licensed, and she never once practiced because we both knew that there was no part of us that wanted her to take her God-given role as the homemaker and the nurturer. Even though she had this great degree, we wanted her to be with the kids at home with nothing else pulling her away from that. And so she's an educated woman, and yet that education did not puff her up to kind of despise the people around her. Scripture says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So
yes.
I think you should be very careful marrying someone with a college degree, but there's nothing... I'm a big believer in homeschooling, and I would like my wife to be as wise and as educated as possible so she can teach my children.
Amazing. I want to ask this about the milk thing, and then I want to get into the homeschool and stuff and other things. You are the president of two goat milk companies. Am I right?
That's correct, yes.
And I grew up in Alabama. We had cow milk. I knew about goat milk, but I never really had goat milk. What's special about goat milk?
Yeah, goat milk is amazing. Now, of course, you're going to expect me to say that because I live here in the Pacific Northwest on a 500 goat farm. But goat milk really is amazing. When you consider what we all are, we are all people. And because we're people, we started our life off with milk of some kind.
Right.
For those of us who've been blessed, we had a mother who was able to breastfeed us.
Right.
The building blocks of our life at the beginning of life was our mother's milk. Well, goat milk resembles mother's milk on a DNA level. And so because of that, all of the components of goat milk, the protein, the minerals, the probiotics, the colostrum, the fat, the lactose, it all resembles mother's milk in a way that is profoundly different than cow milk. And therefore, we have all of these nutritional benefits that come when you use goat milk as your ingredients. That's why goat milk is amazing.
Wow. So goat milk has things in it that cow milk don't have?
That is correct, yes.
So, like when you... I remember I had to milk the cow every morning before going to school.
Sure.
And the cow milk was so good when it was fresh away from the cow.
Yes.
So is the goat milk better than that milk that comes when it's right fresh from the cow?
Well, now, before all of my, all of your cow milk enthusiast listeners get upset with me, I'm a big believer in cow milk, too. I love cow milk. However, for kids... cow milk allergy, CMA, it's the number one allergy for kids under 3. And so for those instrumental points of life, those first 2-3 years of a child's life, oftentimes they're allergic to cow milk. And so that's where goat milk can really come in and do wonders for people. Now, the charmed life that you lived as a child with getting to have your own access to a cow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt you were charmed at the time milking the cow every morning.
I did.
But that is
I didn't mind. I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama, and that's okay. All I knew. You know, I just had to go do it. So that's all I knew.
Absolutely. Yeah. That raw cow milk that you were drinking every day, that was glorious food.
Yeah.
That was a gift from God, and yes, that was good. However, if you were allergic to cow milk, you would have been allergic to that milk as well, even though it was raw and unpasteurized and whatnot. So yes, there are advantages that goat milk does have, and I should say these advantages, they don't go away just because you become older than three. For a lot of people, we operate a lot in the health and wellness space.
Right.
A lot of people who use, say, protein supplements from cow milk, they love the results they get from the protein supplements. But one of the things that they'll find is that there'll be bad side effects, gas side effects, you know, stomach upset side effects. You don't have those almost ever with our products.
Really? So did you say if I am allergic to cow milk, I would be allergic to goat milk as well?
No. What I was saying was that that raw milk that you were milking the cow and obtaining when you were a boy, if you would have been allergic to cow milk, you would have still been allergic even to raw cow milk, because it's a protein that causes cow milk allergy. It's not it's not a matter of whether or not it's been pasteurized or not. And goat milk does not have the protein that causes cow milk allergy.
So that's where
it's has a benefit.
Does goat milk taste good?
Well, now that is a debated topic. Not everybody loves it. I personally, my family, we personally love it. If you like goat milk cheese, there's a chance you'll like the goat milk products.
Oh, okay.
It definitely has a different flavor to it, but I would say it's amazing.
Nice. And so let me just say this. I was not allergic to milk until I moved to the city. I grew up, I left home at 18, moved to L.A., and once I started drinking milk in L.A., I was allergic to it, it would make my stomach mess up. And so I had to stop drinking it. And I hear now it's because of what they put in the milk and all that kind of stuff. But I was not allergic to it beforehand.
Gotcha.
So with the goats, do you milk the goat or you use machines to milk the goat? Or do you and your kids go out and milk the goats?
We do not. So we milk the goats twice a day. And like I said, there's 500 goats on our farm.
Whoa.
Give or take. So if it was me and my kids milking twice a day, we would do nothing but milk the goats. And I'd be saying goodbye right now to go back milking the goats.
Yeah.
So we do have machines that we put on the goats. We can milk about 26 goats at a time, or one guy can, because of the machines.
So goats, they have no problem standing still like a cow and allow you to milk them?
Yeah, you know, our goats are they're great goats. They are full of joy and excitement. And yes, they definitely would not stand still for it if they weren't used to it. And they get a small handful of organic grain when they come into the parlor. So it's kind of like somewhat of a bribe to get them to stand still long enough to get milked.
Wow, that's amazing. What the? So your first child, was it a boy or a girl?
I had, my first was a girl. Her name's Ava. Ava. And then 11 months later, we had our second. He was a boy, Charles, and they're Irish twins. That means that they are the same age for a month every year.
Nice. Did you know that real men make boys first?
I've made four, but I didn't make the boy first.
Well, man. Okay. You made up. So let me ask, do you have perfect peace?
I have perfect peace as it relates to my life and what God is doing with it. because the Holy Spirit indwells me, he is the bond, the perfect bond of peace. So I have the Holy Spirit, so therefore, yes, I have perfect peace.
Do you ever get angry?
Yes, and I would even say that there are times when I walk in a manner that is not consistent with that perfect peace. And I struggle with contentment, or I could struggle with impatience, or I could struggle with any number of besetting vices that really rob the joy that comes from a life living in the Spirit.
Amazing. And so why don't you drop the anger and not have it inside of you at all? Why don't you allow God to take the spirit of anger out, away from you?
Yeah. I would say that I do, and that the Christian life is a life that is marked by confession of sin. So that means that when you get angry, you confess it to God. Scripture promises that if we are faithful to confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins right. and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the life of perfect peace means that you are constantly being sanctified, and that anger problem that you had, you're leaving behind you. You're forgetting what lies behind. You're striving towards what lies ahead. And by the grace of God, I have much, much less anger today than I've had in the past of my life.
So is anger good or evil?
That is a wonderful question, Jesse. And anger is like hate.
Yeah.
Hate is not wrong. Anger is not necessarily wrong. The question is, to what are we angry, and what is the reason for our anger? If I am angry because God's law is being broken, then no, that anger is good. And in fact, it would be sinful not to be angry. In the same way, if I'm not hating the things that God hates, then that would be sinful, and I would be calling what is evil good.
God said that salvation is of the heart, right? So when we can confess that we are evil, that we have hearts, as God said, man's heart, men and women's heart, are wicked, and that you should not trust an angry person, that an angry person is a murderer. And he said that if we confess our sin, meaning that if we admit that we are no good, we are angry. Anger is evil. And anyone that has anger, they play God. Mm-hmm. And when you play God, you can't know God because you're judging. When people who have anger, they judge themselves and others. And so you can't know God. And in order to enter that kingdom, you must forgive. Go and forgive, and he will forgive you and take the spirit of anger away. Why haven't you done that?
I would say that I absolutely have done that. That is what being a Christian is. Being a Christian means you confess to God, I am a sinner in need of salvation, and here is all of my sin, including anger. Because I completely agree with you, Jesse. If you are a man or a woman marked by anger, and it's unrestrained anger,
yeah.
And it's anger at all of the things that you shouldn't be angry at, that is a place of demonic possession, because Satan loves nothing more than to have you be angry at all the wrong things.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate your encouragement, and I would say that part of living that life of perfect peace with the Spirit, who is the bond of peace, is recognizing the fact that I'm not an angry person at all anymore. And any time that anger should rear its little ugly little head is simply something that was part of my old man and not the new man in Christ.
Right on. And so did you forgive your mother?
You know, I wish you could meet my mom, because you would know right away that there was absolutely nothing I had to ever forgive her for.
So you never forgave her?
Forgave her for what?
So you said there was nothing you had to forgive her for?
My mother or my father have been amazing role models for me. And one of the other things about being a Christian, Jesse, is that love, loving one another, it keeps no record of wrong. Yeah. And so if there was something that I needed to forgive her for, I can't even remember what it would be. Therefore, I don't think I have a single thing to forgive her for.
Amazing. And so was she perfect?
Certainly not perfect.
And were there little things that irritate you about her or you wish you didn't do or say? And when you were growing up and she used to irritate you, and even now it kind of get on your nerves. When those moments come, how do you deal with that?
Okay. I think one of the best ways to deal with, maybe the best word for it would be like a frustration that can come about with others. It could be a loved one, like a mother or father, or it could be someone just like a neighbor, somebody who God has placed within your life that you have to live with. If you make a practice of giving thanks to God for that person specifically by name and consistently, and thinking of reasons why you are thankful for that person in your life, then you will really be in that position where you will be loving in such a way that you're keeping no record of wrong.
And so when your mother irritates you now and growing up, that's how you deal with it? Are you saying that's the way you deal with it?
Well, you know, if I'm oftentimes with my mother, if I'm ever feeling irritated or annoyed, if I check my heart, I recognize that the problem is with me. The problem's not out there. It's not with other people. The problem is here.
Right.
And
that's true.
Oftentimes I just got to ask myself, have you confessed your sins today? And if I haven't confessed my sins today, then well, there's my problem right there. Let me get on my knees. Let me ask the Lord to confess my sins. This is one of the things that we do each week in our church. We all gather together to worship God. And when you come into the presence of a holy God, we recognize that we are not holy. And so we all, as one congregation, get on our knees and we confess our sins together. And we do that because there can be no peace with God with unconfessed sin in our midst. Judgment begins with the house of God. And because judgment begins here, it can only be stayed through the forgiveness of God. That's why confessing sin is so important.
But you were not born with that in you. It only entered into you when you were a little kid, innocent, and you could not handle the hell that's in your mother. So eventually, and your father wasn't able to protect you from her because you were married to his mama. And so you couldn't handle the hell that was in your mother. You became angry because you weren't born that way. The moment you became angry, you became like her. You went into your imagination. You had the emotion of the thoughts and emotion of your mother. You became like her. And God said, and that if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must go and forgive. Hey, mother, I realize you could not help yourself now. I understand. I'm sorry for resenting you for what you've done. And then God will forgive you when you apologize for being angry, judging. How will you enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't go and apologize for resenting her for what she's done? If she admits it, fine. If she doesn't, that's on her. But when you apologize for judging her, you were angry, you couldn't help it. How will you enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't go and forgive your mother and your father for not protecting you from your mother? He couldn't deal with her. He couldn't help. He loved you and just didn't know how to deal with her. How will you enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't go and forgive your mother?
So one of my earliest memories with my mother, I was about 3 years old, and it's just my earliest memory, period, but it involves my mother, and right. I grew up in a Baptist house, and, you know, my parents loved their children, and they taught us how to pray, and I remember, I have this very clear memory of sitting on the side of the bed with my mother, praying basically the sinner's prayer. Now, regardless of what you think of the sinner's prayer and whether or not that's an important step in the salvation of a soul, that is one of my earliest memories, because I remember that was the time that I began loving Jesus in an explicit way. And my mom was the one leading me along the path to that. Now, along the way of childhood, there are, you know, families are families, and families are going to sin against each other. But the sign of a strong family is families who clean up the house every night. There's a guy by the name of Doug Wilson who makes the very apt metaphor that confessing your sins to one another is like picking up the house every night. If you only do it every 6 months, it's going to be a humongous job of deep excavation and cleaning. But if every day you confess your sins one to another and seek forgiveness and give forgiveness, then the house will stay clean. That's the childhood that I grew up in, Jesse. I grew up in a childhood where forgiveness of sin was happening on a daily basis. And so I honestly cannot go back in my mind and think, oh, my mom did this, that, and the other thing that I need to forgive her for, because anything that needed to be forgiven, it had been dealt with years ago. So maybe that is getting to what you're saying, that I have done it, but we just did it in real time, whereas a lot of families, they don't deal with it in real time, and so they have to do all of this work later on in life because there's all of this built up, accumulated, unconfessed sin in their lives. That might be more kind of what you're referring to, but my experience was different.
And when you asked your father to help you deal with your mother, what would he say? Would he help you deal with her, or he just left you alone with her?
Oh, no. He was. Most of what I know about being a man, I learned from my dad. I realized that not everybody gets to have a godly father there for them every day. That's what I had. I realized that is a tremendous blessing. And so, yes, he was the one that was always there showing me how to respect my mom, how to be honoring, how to make sure that you're obeying the fourth commandment and honoring your father and mother.
So when God said to go and forgive her and your father, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, was he just playing?
No, I think Jesus says it even harder than that, Jesse. He says, if you are unwilling to forgive your brother their sins against you, your heavenly father will be unwilling to forgive you your sins.
Right.
So yeah, we must forgive one another of our sins.
What's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks? Well, you know, I live in Lewis County, Washington, and Lewis County is, I believe, 99% white.
Wow. Paradise.
Paradise. So I don't have a lot of real world experience to answer your question about that. If I had to be kind of an outsider looking in, I would say one of the problems is that our culture panders to black culture way too much. We don't hold them accountable to anything. And every time they have any kind of problem, we just blame it on ourselves. So I would say that's like a huge problem, and it's super disrespectful, because I don't want someone to just say, oh, all of your problems are someone else's fault. Well, if there's someone else's fault, then there's nothing I can do. And so then I guess I'll just go make rap music or something.
Amazing.
What do you think?
Same thing. They're angry, but they're angry because their mothers and grandmothers have recreated them in her image. Mm. And the father have not been there to protect the children from the mother. And so that anger being passed on from generation to generation to generation. But instead of people loving them enough to tell them they need to go and forgive their mothers and return to the father, forgive the father for not protecting them. They have been told it's the white man, it's racism, you need a program, you need affirmative action, you need something. So they're being used in their fallen state, and the people that are using them don't want them to overcome. They don't want them to be independent and free. They don't want them to be of love. They need them to be angry and out of control so they can use them for power and money for themselves.
You know, it seems like the more anti-racist our country becomes, the worse things are for the Black community.
Yes.
If you go back 100 years ago when nobody was trying to be anti-racist, it seemed like the Black community was much, much stronger back then.
Yes.
And part of it probably was some of that, that difficulty breeds strength. But if the father's not there, then there's no hope. That is a fallen community if you don't have the father's present.
God and Christ and man over woman, women over the children. It's the only thing that's got to work. I want you to know, it sounds like you already know this, but there's no such thing as racism. I grew up in Alabama under the so-called Jim Crow laws. I went to all Black schools and things like that. But Black people would treat everybody the way that they would like to be treated. They did not, either you had love or you had hate. And it didn't matter what the color was. We owned land, Blacks owned land and all other kinds of stuff. And it wasn't until the Civil Rights Movement came along that Blacks went downhill and it never returned. So there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Allahu Abba-ism, and deadbeat-dad-ism, white supremacism, anti-Semitism. It's a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil. Even the Bible, God says that our battle, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in wicked places. So it was a made-up word in order to deceive and control the people.
That's good.
So what do other white people think about you that you're able to speak up like this?
Well, I think in a lot of white communities, we just don't talk about this very much. So this isn't necessarily like these are conversations that we need to be having so that we at least understand our own programming.
Yes.
If I understand my programming and I understand that this is the way I am going to be manipulated, then I can fight against it.
Yes.
But if I have no clue that this is the way I've been programmed to believe, then there is going to be, I'm going to be just led around by whatever manipulative tactics our media want to use.
Yeah.
And they use it constantly. And so this is a very important conversation, but I wouldn't say it's a conversation that happens a lot.
So you guys will say, hey, Tom, why don't you and your wife come over tonight for dinner, and when they get there, what about those Blacks?
Yeah, that's not usually the topic of conversation.
That's amazing. I got to talk to you about homeschool. I am 100% in support of homeschool, by the way. Why should parents homeschool their children? And for those parents who do want to do it, but let's say they're not married, the mother got to go to work, what would you recommend for them? How should they get involved in a homeschool program? What should they do? And why are you so in support of homeschooling?
Yeah, the government school system has been an operating wing of the Democratic Party for generations now. I went to the government school, and it was bad then. It's far worse now. It's the kind of thing that has rapidly devolved for the past three or four generations. Parents, Christian parents specifically, but I would even say if you're not a Christian, there is no reason why you should be sending your children to public school.
Yeah.
If there's any possible way that you can avoid it. The people who teach in public schools, not in every single case, but in most cases, are seeking to usurp your authority as a parent. They are seeking to undermine and subvert your authority as a parent. And most parents, even if they're not that involved or they're not that that, you know, locked in as a parent, don't want to send their children off to an institution that is going to actively undermine their authority. But that's what government education does. 18,000 hours, I believe, is the number from kindergarten through 12th grade that you are giving your children over to Caesar to basically say, reform this person into a model citizen of our society. And when Caesar is done with them, they are usually unrecognizable from the family they came from. Yeah. And so that is why I'm an enormous believer in homeschooling. One of the things that we've been working on here in the past 3 years has been a classical Christian school that is heavily, it's a heavily parent emphasized classical Christian school, because we know that the commands of Scripture to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's what we are called to do. And specifically, fathers are called, don't provoke your children, raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That is an all-encompassing project where they need to think like a Christian, act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian. And you can't do that. You cannot obey a command like that if you are outsourcing your parental authority to a public school 35 to 40 hours a week. That is why it's so critical that parents take back the education of their children.
Which is better, a good private school or homeschooling?
You know, it depends on the age of the student. It depends on whether it's a boy or a girl. It depends on the quality of the private institution that's available. One of the things that caused us to want to work towards this classical Christian education world was because I have sons, and I don't want the only teacher my son to ever have is his mother. Yes. I want him to learn from other men.
Yeah.
I want him to learn from other men who are excellent in their craft, and know not only their Bibles well, but know their craft well. And so for boys, as they get older, I would say probably if you have the right school situation, it's much more important that you get your boys into the competitive environment of a day school. For girls, I think it's more oftentimes is a very good thing for you to keep their hearts at home as much as possible. Yeah. And some of the ways you can do that is by homeschooling them, because when you are homeschooling them in the home, you are teaching them to love the things of the home. Now, that being said, I have daughters at a classical Christian school as well, but that's something to consider as well.
Right on. What's the most difficult thing about homeschooling?
One of the most difficult things, especially, is if you have a lot of kids, you're going to be stretched pretty thin. Right. And so even if you don't do a day school ever, make sure you get yourself involved in a community where you can share some resources, share some expertise, because as your kids get older, they are going to outpace you in the things that they need to learn, things that you have forgotten, or maybe you never learned yourself. And so that's definitely going to be one of the most difficult things, is just simply being stretched so thin.
Your school is called the Christ the King Academy, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Is that nationwide?
It's a part of the Association of Classical Christian Schools, the ACCS, and ACCS is nationwide. Our version of ACCS, Christ the King Academy, is specific to our own community.
And for those parents who like to put their children to homeschool, how can they find you? How do they find a school in their area?
Yeah, so the ACCS website is going to be the best way of finding that. Just Google search Association of Classical Christian Schools. I believe their URL is classicalchristian.org. But if you Google it, you'll find it.
Amazing. And the reason I asked too, because as I said, I'm not for the public school at all, but I talked to several mothers now who don't have husbands and things like that.
Yep.
And they would love to put their children in a public school, whatever school. What do you call it?
A classical Christian school.
Right. But they can't find they don't know how to find it, and they are not able to educate the children themselves. So they want to find some kind of way to get involved, but they don't quite understand. So I'm glad you, and I'll let you give that out even more so in a minute here. That's amazing. At one time, Catholic schools used to be good educated schools. I hear that that has changed. Are you aware of that? Is that true or not?
It absolutely is true. I'm sure there's good Catholic schools out there, but a lot of what we're doing as classical Christian institutions is what the Catholics used to do, and what often most of Western civilization has done. So what the classical method really is a method of reclamation, basically. We're looking not to do new things, but to put new feet on those old paths that our forefathers had been doing for generations before us. And that was certainly true of the Catholic schools.
Yeah.
And if they want to regain some of the influence that they had back then, they'll return to those as well.
Which is better, a homeschooling or Christian school?
You know, one of the things you have to be careful for when you're considering a Christian school is the Christian school just a private school where they allow for prayer, but for all intents and purposes, it's actually just a public school light? If that's the case, that probably is a much better option than the government school itself. But it might not be worth the time or the money. There are all sorts of reasons why a lot of private education or private Christian education institutions in the U.S. are not necessarily strong places to send your children.
Right.
You have to look at track records. Jesus says that wisdom is justified by her children. And so what kind of graduates are these schools putting out? I would look at that. I would look at what kind of culture the private school or the Christian school exemplifies. If they have a diversity, equity, and inclusion board, do not put your kids in that school, because yeah, you're just getting public school light.
Absolutely. I got to put you on the hot seat.
Put me on.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
Did you vote for the Great White Hope?
Yes, I absolutely did.
What is a man?
A man is, he's a son of Adam. He is made in the image of God. Certainly, he has the reproductive ability of a man. And he is willing and finds it glorious to take on the mantle of being a man.
True or false? When she is crying, she's lying.
False.
Who has more sense, a goat or a feminist?
A goat has more sense 10 times out of 10.
Have you ever tasted something that was so good it made you want to slap your mama?
Generally, the meals I eat every night prepared by my wife make me want to pass out from euphoria, but I've never wanted to slap my mama.
True or false, drinking cow milk is a sin.
Absolutely false. Cow milk is wonderful.
Was it a mistake to give women the right to vote?
I can't see any ultimate good that came from it, so I'd have to say yes.
Is the earth flat or round?
It's as round as a basketball.
Does a chicken have lips?
No lips.
What is love?
Greater love has no man than he that layeth down his life for his friend.
Is it wrong for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
Not at all.
True or false, Joe Biden is the worst president we've ever seen.
Worse than Obama?
I say Obama's worse, but the former Messiah.
It's debatable, but Biden was certainly the worst president I can remember.
Yeah. Is it ever okay to call a man I mean, is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
If she is great with child.
Were women created to follow or to lead?
They were created to follow.
Did you have fun?
This has been so much fun. You're a great guy to talk to.
I totally enjoyed it. Thank you for taking the hot seat. Tell the folks how to, whatever, website, how to find you, how to get involved with homeschool, or whatever you want to put out.
Yeah. If you want to reach out to me, I'm on Twitter, at Joe Stout. You can find me there. Our goat farm, you had said there at the beginning there that it's the president of two goat milk companies. Mount Capra has been in business since 1928. So we're coming up on 100 years, and that you can find us at Mount, that's M as in Mary, T as in Tom, Capra, CAPRA.com, mountcapra.com, all kinds of products from goat milk. And also, Mount Athos is our newest venture into the health and wellness world. And you can find us there at athosperform.com. That's A-T-H-O-S perform.com.
Amazing. I wish you well, man. And thank you again for coming on. It was amazing. And I appreciate it. And keep on making white babies.
You got it, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget, the Father State is now on locals.com. You can click the link in the description and support us, become a fan and member and all that. I do appreciate it. And check out our merch, amazing merch, including Punch's Coffee. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. I do appreciate it. Thanks for your support. And thank you again for coming on, man. I absolutely appreciate it.
Yeah, this was a great time. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Amazing.